This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
No cause for concern whatsoever. Dak's going to be fine.
Mike McCarthy said it was a fatigue injury.
I think it's just something, as we said, it's just taking a precaution.
I don't think it seems a serious situation at the moment.
This is early in training camp. No cause for concern.
Everybody's downplaying it, but he still ain't throwing the football. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline here on Barton Hahn. I'm in for Alan today. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I'll get to Alan, by the way, in a few minutes, because we got a little bit of an issue there that we will get to with Mr. Hahn. We shift over to some football, because Dak Prescott is still not throwing for the Cowboys. It's been a week since his first shutdown. They have their first preseason game tomorrow night against the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Cowboys say that they expect him to begin throwing again next week. We just heard everybody say, no big deal, it's nothing, no big deal, it's nothing, nada, 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 nada. Bart, your take. Is Dak Prescott not throwing a big deal?
Sounds like some Jacob DeGrom stuff, right? No big deal, nothing to see here. What you have here is you have a player coming off of an injury that I believe is experiencing compensation, where it's changed the mechanics of his throwing motion and his arm and the way he grips the football, or his throwing motion is starting to affect, you know, muscles that were never engaged before and they're not ready for it. And for it to flare up this early in the season, usually you think about maybe a tired shoulder or something like that, maybe week four or something like that. This is like week two of training camp. So, like, what are you going to do? Put him on a thorn restriction? Like, if this thing continues to flare up, and, like, it's like one of those things where you pull your hamstring. It doesn't get better during the season. It's just something you have to deal with. And the fact that he has to deal with something already, I would really put him back in our testing system and see what his FMS scores is as far as his range of motion.
What is it, FMS? What is
that? It is functional motor skills, right? And it's what we do. It's a test and assessment that we take the first day there, and it gives us our prehab workout stuff. So we have stuff that we do
to help avoid injury.
Right, or to help avoid it. It's called FMS. And all athletes take it. It tells you, like, if your glutes not firing right, if you're setting yourself up for potentially injuries when it comes to your hamstrings and all that type of stuff. And I think he needs to figure out what's the change in his mechanics. He needs to, one, be able to take a picture or a video of his throwing motion this year versus maybe what it was last year, and see if there's any difference in the way he steps, the way he plants. Because whatever's happening in his lower body is starting to affect his upper body. And right now, when you show up to camp, it's the healthiest you'll ever be all year, right? It's whole and as fresh as you're going to be. Everything else is just like chipping away, right?
Yep.
It might be a dull butter knife, but it's chipping away. And sometimes you chip away enough, something breaks. And that's what you worry about.
That was the first thing I thought at the time was, is this just about, you know, the fact that he's coming off of a leg injury and his footwork might be a little bit out of whack? And you're trying to get yourself right, so you are straining something else as a result when you're throwing the football. Now, having said that, I still, and this is not just my overall, is there a bias against the Cowboys that I have? Probably a little bit. But I'll try to admit it when it's factoring into my opinion on something. It's not here, because I look at them right now, and I worry about him coming back from this injury being what he was right beforehand, at least immediately, because they always talk about these big-time injuries taking like a full year before you're really yourself again.
Right.
And I look at the rest of the team, as much as they have improved offensively on paper, I will never trust the Cowboys based on paper, because so many times over the last 20 years, they're supposed to have been great.
Since 96.
On paper.
Yeah, they've been the paper champs for the. They win the offseason every year. Every year is optimistic. This is the year that Dallas is going to get it over. And eventually, one time, he'd be right. You know what I mean? Right? Because a broken clock is right twice a day, right? When you think about, like, what they're doing and what they're attempting to do, like, I don't know, like, the reality of it is, right? You're trying to get a player that you've spent a lot of money on, you're trying to get him to come back from injury, and he's having some injuries and some doubts early on, but the reality of it is he's not 100%, no matter if he believes he's 100% or not, and it's going to limit Kellen Moore and his ability to call the game plan, because you can't have RPOs. If I'm a defense, I don't care about no RPOs from Dak Prescott, because I know he's still a little bit nervous, and when I see him run, it looks like he has a little hitch to his giddy-up, a little limp going on. Players are going to cut him and take his legs out, right, and make him have hesitation about leaving the pocket. And that's going to limit the ability. What makes him so great is his ability to have these off-schedule plays. So they're going to have to really lean on a running game and protect Dak from himself early on, because guys are going to be blitzing the A-gap, seeing if they can get him to move. But when they take him down, why am I going to hit you up high? No, I'm going to hit you down low. So you can be afraid that maybe, like, when you see me coming, you slow down and I take them thighs out.
And it's not cheap shotting. It's making you think about it. It's part of the game.
Yeah, and he has a hurt shoulder. So guess what now? If I don't take you out low, I'm going to try and make sure I tackle your arms so you can't stop yourself from falling and drive your shoulder into the ground. And that's just the reality of it is. Right now, listen, it's lucky that he's not playing against the Steelers, because the Steelers are a team that you hate to go against. You hate to go against the Ravens. You hate to go against the Steelers. You want to know why? Because the entire blitz package is in day one of training camp. And you're like, bro, this is supposed to be an exhibition.
What happened to vanilla defense?
What happened to cover two, cover three? Maybe A-gap blitz. Really? Really, Rex? Five off one side? Really? I hate you. Teams used to come up and coordinators, they wouldn't even shake Rex's hand when he was a defense coordinator, and let alone when he was a coach. Because bro, we ain't even put that protection in yet, man. We're in week one. Here you are with the backups in, or your second string guys. You may have your first running back still out there. He's going night-night because he got two coming off the edge. Totally unblocked. Like, really, Rex? So, like, it's a blessing in disguise that, you know, he isn't playing, because you know Blitzberg is going to bring it, and they're trying to establish themselves. They're trying to remind everybody there, so they're going to run the hell out of the ball. I would be surprised if Mike Tomlin ran the ball 35 times in the first two quarters.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Are the Cowboys actually going to live up to expectations? What are your expectations for the Cowboys this season? 888-SAY-ESPN. Then there were the Giants yesterday, who had a massive brawl on the practice field that basically involved the entire team, including the quarterback, Daniel Jones, who was on the bottom of the pile.
We're just competing, and everyone's excited. First day of pads, get out there. We got to do a better job, controlling that and making sure we're controlled in our enthusiasm and excitement.
Were you, down the bottom of the pile with 90 grown men around you like that? Were you? What do you think?
I was fine. Yeah, I was all good. No problem.
What was Joe's message?
I think there's consequences for that kind of stuff, and that's the way it is in the game. You know, if you lose your cool, there's consequences. That hurts the team. So that was the message, and I think everyone understands that.
Joe Judge went nuts, screaming all kinds of curse words and having them run 110s. And having them do push-ups in between, and it was like Herb Brooks in the movie Miracle. Get on the line again. That's basically what it turned into. All right. Separate fact from fiction for me here on training camp fights.
Yeah, training camp etiquette, right? Well, you talk about, right, first of all, Khaki Jones. Like, of course you expect Khaki Jones to be stuck on the bottom, right? Like, he just looks like
khakis or Vineyard Vines. I don't know. What is he? He's one of the two.
Brooke Brothers. You know what I mean? When I first met him, I met Daniel Jones when he was in college, and he came in and visit Tinky in the studio. Remember, Tinky was walking around. He had some khakis on. Like, he's a guy that goes to the trophy presentation with khakis and a blue blazer. You know what I'm saying? That's just how he run. But, you know, training camp fight etiquette, right? So what you have going on is it's always going to be fights in training camp. That's usually what happens, right? At this point, this is the first day of pads all year, right? Whether it's from the draft, rookie mini camps, OTAs, you know, mandatory mini camps. You got these little young dudes just running around, popping around, trying to show off, and you hear all these reports. Oh, man, so-and-so looks excellent. He looks great. Guess what? We don't have no pads on. I'm a veteran. I don't care about this right now, bro. Wait till we put these pads on. You keep bringing the same energy if you want to. What happens the first day you get pads? You got to send a message as a veteran. All right, you want to be sitting around here popping around trying to make me look bad? You know what I'm saying? I got a wife with a girl. I got a girlfriend with a wife on the side. I got a mortgage. I got to take care of my kids. And you're going to sit up here and you're going to do this to me? Okay, come on. Let me show you something, young punk. You know what I mean? So what happens is, you know what I'm saying? A guy like Evan Engram, like, all right, oh, that was a little excessive. Okay, let me set you straight right now. We can do this the easy way or the hard way. I will make this the longest year of your life because I am a grown-ass man. You don't even know the damn playbook. I can set you up and sideswipe you all day. So what happens is you get in the beef and you have to set the tone. Like, this is how it's going to be. This is how it's going to go, right? Because when you start going against these young dudes, they trying to embarrass you, you know, especially when the fans get out there. Oh, you get the guys that think they, like, oh, let me show everybody I'm the world champ. Then you got to check their ass. And that's just what it's always been about. And then you got guys that's jockeying for strength. Like, you got to understand. It's 90 people that's in camp. 56 of them going to make the team. So what do you think, right? You ain't about to be embarrassed. You ain't about to be outdone. You ain't going to take a step back. As far as running and all that stuff, I've been there, done that. Anybody that saw the episode of Hard Knocks that we were on, we got in a big fight. Joe McKnight got arrested. So, you know, got suplexed or tackled into the signage. Got tackled into the signage. Mm-hmm. And he took offense to it. So he threw the football. And I think it was Brittany Poole. He wasn't going for it. You know what I'm saying? So here you got a left, right. So then, of course, you got to protect your teammates. The fact that they're always fighting means that, okay, this was a group activity. Now you got the people in the vets that know how to fight, right? You got a couple dudes that go grab
you
each
other.
You
don't want the quarterback on the bottom of the pile.
Yeah, that's his dumb butt. Like, yeah. Listen, you got a red jersey on. When we start fighting, you go take your ass and you sit down and you get some Gatorade and let the grown-ups with all this extra testosterone scrap it out. Let the Neanderthals handle it.
Here's Robert Saleh, the Jets head coach, on his approach when it comes to this kind of thing. He was asked about players doing laps and having to do push-ups because of mistakes.
You know, there's many ways to do it. There are many ways to do it. For me, it's more of try to create accountability with self rather than forcing accountability. These players are grown men. And that to give them the opportunity to correct it themselves will always happen first. Obviously, there's going to be coaching. They're not trying to make the mistake. All we can do is help them understand how the mistake was made so they don't do it again.
Okay. Was there a little bit of shade in there? Little bit? When you see, to me, when I'm listening and I hear these players are grown men, that makes me think there's a hair of shade. But it's not going after Joe Judge and saying, oh, come on, that's
whack. It's saying that's not my style, right? Like, I wouldn't do it. If that's how you want to do it, these grown men, in my program, I treat them like grown men. Because remember last year, it was a bit of a mini revolt. And it was a revolt in Detroit, right, where Patricia was. Everywhere New England assistant goes, and they try and hit this, let's do conditioning. I always say this. Listen, don't condition me because this dude fat and out of shape. You know what I'm saying? Listen, that is not my business. If he's not in shape and he can't, you know, play the level that he's supposed to, this ain't no kumbaya moment. I ain't about to sit up here and run with him. Listen, I came in shape so I wouldn't have to do no extra conditioning. Like, just because this dude came barely, you know, probably was dehydrated, taking diet pills, water pills, so he can weigh in on his weigh day. I ain't got nothing to do with that, bro. I'm good.
I could just imagine the look on your face if I showed up on the practice field.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's just like, guys, we're going to do extra conditioning for Steve. Steve? I ain't getting another Steve check. Steve better get his fat ass on there. Now, Steve, I catch your ass, eat some french fries around the corner. I'm going to drop kick your ass. I'm sitting up here doing gasses because you fat.
Let's hit it. 888-SAY-ESPN. Mike is in Texas on Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio. Mike, what's going on, dude? How are you?
I am doing well, guys. Bart, Hahn, hope you're both doing well. Love the show. Called a couple times. Man, Hahn, you just said something a few minutes ago. You said you don't trust the
Hahn's on vacation.
You said you don't.
That's all right.
Chris.
Go ahead.
It's okay. Baby Buddha. Just call him Baby Buddha.
But the show's Barton Hahn. Go ahead.
You said you don't trust the Cowboys no matter how many great offseason pickups they get. And as a lifelong Cowboys fan, I know exactly why. Because at the end of the day, we don't have a leader. Everyone wants to think it's Dak. Dak is not a leader. He's a great player. He has not proven himself that he can take people like our defense, who's atrocious, and rally them to play better than they are. That's what a real leader does. He gets people to play better than they are. Dak's great. It could be a whole lot worse. He's not that guy. And the reason he's not that guy is because at the end of the day, everybody knows where the buck stops. And it stops with that ancient geriatric Mr. Jerry, who literally cannot help himself. He has to be involved. He thinks any success the Cowboys have is a direct result of his involvement. Actually,
pride.
Bro, it's the complete opposite. We will never win another Super Bowl until you die or get the hell out of our way.
Well, he's walking a mile. You don't want him to die yet. You know, give him a couple of years. He's trying to win. He's all in. But I understand his point, right?
But here's the thing with Jerry. He's trying to win, but he's trying to win and get the credit. He has won before and hasn't gotten the credit.
Yeah, so Jerry
and for
Jones
years,
got fired.
It's, I'm going to win my way. And the problem for him is that he should have fired the general manager a long time ago. The problem is he's the general manager.
Exactly. I mean, you just think, well, what he did with, you know, alienating Jimmy Johnson, and now he's admitting that he's wrong because he wanted the credit. And it's not about that.
I just think he wanted to show up at Jimmy's Hall of Fame speech and, you know, get pats on the back for hiring him.
Let's see what that speech is.
Jerry's showing up so that he can have the minute with Jimmy of the big hug.
Exactly.
You know, and make sure everybody gets it on camera.
Yeah, none of that. You know, it's like, it's funny because he's talking about, you can't call him geriatric. Like, what's that movie with, with Dan Aykroyd and Chevy Chase? And it was like Tupac, All Around the World, same song. And Dan Aykroyd was the old judge, and Demi Moore, they got cut off. Oh, man.
I know that you're trying to get the customer in front of 100,000 when Bart starts describing something and I have to answer it. I know the name of the movie and I can't remember it. That's what's killing me right now. Oh, man. Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's like the dumbest movie ever, and it is Chevy Chase and Demi Moore, and Dan Aykroyd plays this
judge, and he got the little fat twins and stuff and, like that.
What's really happening here is we have just driven this into the bridge embutment right now. So let's get back. Nothing but trouble. There you go.
By the way, the world is saying
the fact
so.
That you would reference Nothing But Trouble, which is one of the worst movies ever.
What? That was very entertaining. Oh, that's like watching the Goonies, man.
No.
Like the
Goonies,
13% on Rotten Tomatoes.
What is it?
13% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's pretty bad.
Rotten Tomatoes got it wrong then. But I got to tell you what, that is a good movie. How many times, listen, Rotten Tomatoes is not, what is it, not Spielberg, what was the dude that died?
I don't know. Who are we talking about?
The movie critics.
Siskel and Ebert.
Boom! Right, Rotten Tomatoes. That's a winner. Listen, we should have a ding, ding, ding. Rotten Tomatoes are no Siskel and Ebert, man. Like, come on, man. That was a good movie. That's a movie that you can turn on a Saturday evening when you're about to clean up, when you just waking up from having a hangover, and you're eating your White Castle that you left on the counter. That is the perfect movie.
If that's my scenario, I'm still turning the channel.
What?
I'm still turning the channel. That's an awful movie.
Okay, let me see.
I saw that movie in the theater.
Let me see where you're at. What about the Goonies?
Goonies is a great movie.
Okay. I was just about to say, if you would have said the Goonies, I would have renounced my throne.
No, of course. I would have renounced my throne.
I would have left right there.
Oh, stop it.
Hey, you guys.
I love the Goonies. Come on. Mark in Virginia is next on ESPN Radio. Mark, what's going on?
So you guys are talking about the hype on the Cowboys and will they – match up to expectations. You guys do this every single year just because they've got a famous quarterback, a star wide receiver, and somebody else on the offense. Going back to the Romo days when they had Romo, Dez, and Witten. Now it's Cooper, CeeDee, Dak, Ezekiel. Y'all forget there's two sides of the ball. When have the Cowboys had a hyped up defense before the season that y'all thought would do anything? So then when the Cowboys go 9-7, or I guess this year 9-8, y'all say, hey, they didn't reach expectations. Ha ha. Just because Jerry Jones was the only one that actually thought they were going to the Super Bowl. It's the media that's hyping them up every year. They haven't had a good roster in forever. They just got star players on the offensive side of the football.
Well, they have a good roster.
Yes.
They have a good roster.
Have great defensive personnel, too. I mean, Randy Gregory and Lawrence are two great pass rushers. They probably have the deepest linebacker core with Parsons, Vander Esch, and Jalen Smith. And they got a young Diggs, and they got Calvin Joseph. They should be better. Let's say that.
Absolutely.
They should be better.
And what's frustrating about it, because I'm looking up to see what Caesars William Hill has them at right now in terms of,
I would probably say 8 wins. They probably got them at 8-9 wins in that division, which could give them the wild card. They probably have the Washington football team as a team that they believe that they can win because they're going to give more credit to Fitzmagic or Fitzmagic, depending on how you look at them. But they have a dominant defense. They have a Super Bowl caliber defense. Arguably could be the Washington football team could be a top five, top three defensive team in this league led by that defensive line. So I would probably say William Hill got him at probably about 8 wins, 8 or 9 wins.
Cowboys are at 30-1 to win the Super Bowl. That's from Caesars William Hill. +3,000. You got to bet on that? And the Chiefs, just to give you an idea, there's a bunch of teams in front of them. I won't run down all of them, but the Chiefs and the Browns, the Chiefs are number one at 5.
Chief Browns, probably the Bills.
Like there's 10 or 12. The Ravens. They're not one of the top teams, but it's not about us wanting to say that they didn't reach expectations. It's about them not getting better and not reaching expectations. And when you look at the NFC East, should there be any reason that they don't win the division?
I mean, I think that they're top.
I personally think they're finishing third.
Yeah, they're top heavy, right? Because you think about their offense. It should be a little bit better than the Giants, but not by much. It should be a little better than the than the Washington football team, but not by much. But then the discrepancy between who has the better defense, the gap is so much wider on the Giants, who I think will be a top 10 defense. And I think the Washington football team may be a top five or arguably might be the best defense in the game this year when you think about what they're able to do on the defense side of the ball. So even though they could have a decent record, I think they'll still finish third within the division as well.
Look, I think they should win this division. They should be good enough to win this division. But that's the thing.
Yeah.
I look at them on paper, and they should win this division. Like, and frankly, Falco, they should do it kind of handily.
It's like Shane Falco. You'd be like, what does this team need? Heart.
Yeah.
Miles and miles of heart. And they've always had the talent, but we've always, as a team and as a league, thought that the Dallas Cowboys were the softest team, the most mentally weak team, because they get all the accolades and credit, but they haven't done anything since 1996. But they walk around with this arrogance, right, that we walk around, we wear the star. And like, man, this ain't 1996. You ain't got the triplets out there.
Nope.
You ain't got Larry Allen over there. I ain't worried about you. You ain't got Nate Newton.
3 playoff wins in 25 years. That's what I know. Up next, NBA free agency has not disappointed, but has it really changed the landscape of the contenders in the NBA? We discuss in moments right after Bart tells you about our friends from DoorDash.
DoorDash here with the summer of DoorPass. Right now, DoorPass members are taking $10 off groceries, alcohol, pet food, and more. Need a nightcap? $10 off. Got a cough? Get relief delivered for less. Want to surprise your crush? Send a gift and save. Try Dash Pass for free and get special savings, exclusive menu items, and $0 delivery fees year-round. Get more from your neighborhood now with Dash Pass in the DoorDash app. And stay cool out there, everybody. Terms and conditions apply. Back after this. Audio files.
Coming up today on the Max Kellerman Show. Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert. As our countdown to the NFL season continues. Justin Herbert. Today at 2:10 Eastern with Max Kellerman on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Bart and Han.
Hey, you guys!
Outstanding.
Baby Roo. Og loves Chuck. Oh, man, the memories, man. The memories.
ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting your business with specialized coverages for your commercial vehicles. More at progressivecommercial.com. Let us get to some audio files, my friend. Let's do it.
The audio file. The audio file.
All right, Chris Carlin, Bart Scott with you. Let's do it. First up, Woj, of course, checking in with some insight on all of the signings that the Lakers have made the last few days.
Well, certainly, listen, the Lakers had to, you know, really build back their depth after the Russell Westbrook trade and Alex Caruso going to Chicago. But for Carmelo Anthony, finally joining up with LeBron James in the NBA, they've talked about this at several different junctures of their career, but it finally made sense. They talked here in recent weeks, and Carmelo, coming to a team, that needs a power forward off the bench, who needs, he's become one of the real formidable catch and shoot shooters in the NBA. And I think for Melo, both he and Trevor Ariza playing, some of that four spot now for the Lakers really add a lot there. And this is certainly going to be a very veteran bench for L.A.
I love the move for Melo because Melo has now accepted where he is in his career. And I think this is a great chance to get a ring. I don't know if he will because this team is ancient.
Well, that's what happens when you say veteran players. Cole ain't for old as hell. You know what I mean? That's really what that means. And listen, for Melo's standpoint, like, he never really chased the ring. this is the first year where I can say Melo's chasing the ring, because you don't go to Portland because you think you're going to win a ring and you're not going to be a huge part of the reason why, because you can arguably say he's the third or fourth best player out there. With this one, like, he's trying to ride the wave, and LeBron, and, you know, usually that's something that you can guarantee that LeBron James is going to be somewhere around the NBA Finals, and he's hedging his bet that way, and finally he's been able to say, oh, you know what, I can be not a main role, but I can be an important role about how we win. He can basically be the P.J. Tucker of the Lakers, right?
I think he didn't want to, meaning LeBron, you know, as much as they're good friends and all that, and they've talked about it for all these years, I don't think LeBron wanted to play with Melo up until Melo had accepted what his best fit is at this point in his career.
Right, understanding who and what he is, and that's the best. I bet you it's kind of like what Derrick Rose had to do, going from the MVP to saying, hey, I'm not a starter anymore. I'm best served if I'm a sixth man coming off the bench.
Let's just quickly look at the landscape overall. Where has the biggest part of it changed in terms of the contenders for next year?
I mean, right now it's like it's hot news still happening. There's reports that, you know, Victor Oladipo is going to sign with the Miami Heat. Remember, he got traded to the Miami Heat and opted for the thigh surgery, the same surgery that he had on that thigh, that quad before. But now just think about just the different options. I mean, Oladipo, when healthy, is a guy that is a versatile two-way player, a guy that can get buckets, shoot, defend. And you think about, once again, they're adding toughness. Like I said, man, this is the all-goon squad. Like, if we were going to have a team fight, I think I would pick the Miami Heat to kick the ass out of anybody out there. Right? You think about Jimmy Buckets, the soft dude might be Bam Adebayo.
Are they the third best team in the East?
I think now they are. I just think they're so deep. I mean, you got Duncan Robinson for the shooting, so they got the space. And Jimmy Butler's not a superstar.
So you're putting him in front of the Sixers?
I am.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what the hell the Sixers are right now. And until they, you know, figure out what they're going to do with Ben Simmons and what the compensation is, I'm thinking this is a team with a two stars and need a guy that has a lot of, you know, needs a sports psychologist.
Interesting. I think somebody put them as the third best team yesterday. Who was that? Oh, that was Fat Stradamus over here.
Yeah, Baby Buddha, man. Baby Buddha. Listen, I'm with you when you're right.
I'm glad you finally came around.
Well, just put it. I mean, Oladipo put it over the top.
Okay.
Wakanda forever, you know what I'm saying?
I got you. Look, now we've got some baseball with Brian Cashman, who was on the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN in New York yesterday. And Michael posed an interesting question. Giancarlo Stanton has held up the Yankees, as we know. Mm-hmm. I mean, his contract is an absolute albatross in every way possible.
Won't play in outfield.
So Michael, he finally did a little bit over the weekend. But Michael asked him directly, if you knew that he was just strictly going to be a DH for the majority of his career, would you have made this trade over again?
Well, when I traded for him, you know, I traded for him with the thought process of him and Judge sharing a lot of time between right field and DH to protect them both. It just hasn't worked out that way, you know, over the course of time. And then certainly injuries have played a part on Stanton. So we acquired someone who's riding high. He's a prolific hitter. And when he's healthy, and especially when he's locked in, like we've seen, he goes on some pretty terrifying runs for the opposing pitchers that they won't be able to navigate him. But, you know, at times, clearly we've had some injuries that have hit, and clearly we've had some stretches, you know, like these great home run hitters have, where they struggle too. So, but in terms of going back, hey, if you're specifically answering what do I regret trading for him or not, I'm not going to answer questions like that. He's a Yankee. He's obviously one of many really talented players that we're hoping to get the most out of as we compete for a championship effort every year. And when he's locked in, like we saw he was in the postseason last year, he can carry a team past any pitcher that happens to be on the mound. And so obviously when you have locked in on that best version of himself, you know, you wouldn't want anybody, you know, different in the batter's box when he's locked in. So we're just trying to tap into that as much as we can.
We could have shortened that to about 15 seconds where he just said, if you're asking me if I would have done it again, the answer is I'm not going to answer that. The answer is no.
Yeah, exactly. You can't answer. Yeah, exactly.
Listen, of course he's going to say he's part of the team, but you can tell with that answer, if it was an obvious yes, of course he would say yes.
Yeah, now you got,
it's not.
You got so much dedicated to him. I know that the Marlins took some of that money, paid some of that money.
$30 million, not nearly, you know
what I mean,
enough.
They took enough to make it like at least, you know, able to digest. But now what does this mean with Judge going forward? Because you can say the same thing about Judge. Judge is the best player at that position in the league when healthy.
But
is he healthy?
But that's where the fascinating dynamic with the Yankees is going to unfold. After this year, Stanton still has six more years and $180 million.
Damn.
And Judge is probably going to be a DH within 2 years. And you're still going to be at the point where you can't pay somebody $100 million to take Stanton off your hands.
Yeah.
So I could make the argument that Joey Gallo is more likely to be a Yankee long-term than Judge, primarily because of Stanton's presence.
Yeah, and it's crazy, right? Because, you know, Aaron Judge is one of the baby bombers, right? He's the original baby bomber, right? He was the one of the things that would be excited about. And he's lived up to expectations ever since he got there from Fresno.
As long as he's healthy, he's great.
And yeah, but that's the issue, right?
Yep.
And 30-year-old, 6'8 outfielders don't age well.
Well, then Cashman was asked about all the criticism he has received from fans about the Yankees being entirely too based in analytics in their decision-making.
And I feel like we're a victim of a false narrative. I mean, I don't know why, you know, you can watch the Tampa Bay Rays compete against the Los Angeles Dodgers in the World Series last year, and they're more analytical than we are. And yet we're victimized by being too analytical. Every team in this sport, except for a very small few and a small few that aren't analytical or using that tool in that toolbox, it's not the only primary tool, but is a certainly important tool to use for information and decision-making. It's just, to me, a naive, false narrative that people throw that really just throw it because they're angry. And the ultimate reasons behind it all is that when you're winning, you know, it's a great play. Everything you're doing is great. You're smart. You know, you're flying high and bouquets are going to flow your way. And when you're not living up to your expectations, then you obviously have the slings and arrows of the reasons why. And so right now, because this team is underperformed, it's because of analytics.
Yeah, but the problem here is, if you don't understand why people don't get on the Rays for doing it, well, A, the Rays are winning more consistently than you are, and B, they have a $60 million payroll.
Right.
You know, of course people aren't going to get on them for that. When the Yankees pay the players what they do and they're not performing, they are going to point at the fact that the numbers don't always sell it. Now, what I want to know is the real truth. Are the numbers making 75% of the decisions for the Yankees?
Mm.
The Dodgers don't get hit because they just won a World Series, and they've been in the World Series.
Yeah.
What is the number? What is the actual percentage of what the role that analytics play in every decision? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Geek Squad, and the reason we get upset is because the Geek Squad with the Yankees don't perform at a high enough level. Right?
No!
We even see the Geek Squad now in Boston performing better, right? And it's just one of those things. I know in New York, we're accustomed to hearing, well, this is what $1 billion gets you here, opposed to somewhere else. All we got to do is look at MetLife Stadium, look at Jerry's World, and know that Jerry's World was cheaper than what MetLife Stadium was. But at this point, like, we expect the Yankees to do better. We expect that if you're going to spend all this money and use analytics and be analytically based, we should at least have a World Series appearance in the last 10 years, and that hasn't showed up. So until that is right, to the victor goes the spoils.
Absolutely.
You haven't been the victor.
And I also don't love the idea of whataboutism there. What about those guys? Why don't they get here? What about this? What about that? Mind your own fields, you know, so to speak.
Farm your own land.
Or something. Chris Carlin, Barton Scott on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Make sure you tune in to an interleague battle tonight. It is the Dodgers and the Astros. More inflatable garbage cans flying in Chavez Ravine. Coverage begins 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. In moments, did we change our minds about the offseason for a few NBA teams and even the New York Knicks with the move they made today? Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. That is coming up in just moments on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Coming up today on the Max Kellerman Show, Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert as our countdown to the NFL season continues. Justin Herbert. Today at 2:10 Eastern with Max Kellerman on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bart and Han.
Nice move today by the Knicks, signing Kemba Walker as he agrees to a buyout with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Look, they are better. That is a move that makes a huge difference, because all you have to do is understand you have basically traded Elfrid Payton, who New York couldn't get out of here fast enough, and Reggie Bullock for Evan Fournier and Kemba Walker. And I know that Walker has had all kinds of knee problems. I get that was an issue in Boston last year.
31 years old.
Exactly. This is somebody that doesn't have to come in and play 45 minutes a game and score 25 like he did a few years ago.
Not because you have Alec Burke, who can give you buckets, who can be instant offense. You got Derrick Rose, and you got Quigley. So now you can kind of share in the load management and save him for when it's the most important time. So I'm all for this, right? If the Knicks would have told you that this was going to be their starting five next year, I think you would sign up for it. And you'd be like, you know what? I got a little optimism knowing let's see what this coaching staff can do with 2 years.
When I was sitting here yesterday, I thought the Knicks were marginally better. Now they are just flat out better.
Yeah.
And that is all you can ask for in a free agent year where you were not getting a big-time player. Yeah. And there really, truly wasn't one to be had.
Yeah.
That
John Collins was a big guy. He was a restricted free agent.
And he just got $5 and $125 from Atlanta to go back. And that wasn't happening. Maybe Lonzo Ball. But, look, when you have Kemba Walker now and Derrick Rose, both at point guard, and Emmanuel Quickley is learning, this is a very good combination for those three guys. Let's hit Corey down in Alabama. Corey, you've been patient. You're on Bart and Han on ESPN Radio. What's going on?
And a great day to be a Knicks fan. I believe that the Knicks hit a home run with Kemba Walker for two reasons. One, he just seen these guys like Kyle Lowry get three for $90 million. Somebody just got $120 million. I forget which one it was. But he's looking for that contract. You know, Chris Paul got the $120 million. Yeah. So he's looking for a similar deal. So I think that with the time that he's had off, last year was in a bubble. This year was a compacted season. So I think he's going to have a lot more time to rest his body. He's coming back to the Garden. He's 31 years old. The last 75 years, I was just looking like they didn't really have any point guards that even averaged as much as he did last year during a down year. So you bring in 19, 20 points guaranteed. You know, he's hungry. You know, he's an all-star caliber point guard. Julius Randle last year during the playoffs was triple teamed.
Well,
and
I mean,
Derrick Rose ran out of gas.
Yes, they needed another answer offensively.
They would have got two.
And they got two. And you also needed somebody who was hungry in this kind of instance. And I think you're right that when you see Chris Paul getting $120 million at 37 years old, there's a thought in your mind that says, why not me?
Especially when you're 6 years younger.
No question. Has all the management stuff turned the dream of building your own law practice into a nightmare? Take charge with Lexicon Practice Management Software and Services. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection. John Collins, as I said, just re-signed with the Atlanta Hawks on that five-year, $125 million deal that everybody seemed to expect. And it's been, for a free agency period that didn't have superstars, there have been some teams that have gotten better for sure. It's Chris Carlin, Bart Scott on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.